Eric and Jason are kind enough to every summit kind of give me a week to talk, and I can't be more excited. They asked me when I heard the week, you know, months ago when we were talking about this, that it was going to be, hey, lead like Jesus, and then he gave me the week of how do you lead yourself. I'm like, all right, let's go. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before I jump into it, I need to let you guys know something. If you've been around here, you know that I start almost every time I get a chance to communicate, I start with this because it's so important. We need you, okay? And we need you to grow and mature, become more like Jesus, become deeper in community, because we have more needs at this campus than you can imagine. There are people, single mothers that are screaming for a ministry here. There are blended families that are screaming for a ministry here. There are divorce care participants that we just started 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so our leaders are in there, and all of a sudden a bunch of people show up and they're like, hey, we don't have the leaders that we need to really do a good job of caring for all of these people. And so I'm so glad you're here at Summit. Okay, your goal is not to make an A in Summit. Okay, your goal is to know that you are on a journey of maturity so that you can get to a place where when crisis happens, okay, you are ready, you're equipped, you're complete in Christ so that you can jump into the midst of what's happening in our church, in our family, and outside of these four walls. And so I just want to remind you, we need you. Lord knows I did not make an A in Summit the few times that I went, right? But this is the step in the journey of your maturity, okay? And if you're here for the first time, man, we're so glad you're here. We're glad you're on this step one. It's the right first step. And so what we look for, what we care about is not maturity as much as we look for hunger. Who's hungry? Who wants to grow? Who's doing the homework? Who's memorizing the scripture? Okay, who's engaging with other people around your table? Because we need you to be the body of Christ to all of the things that we need. And one of the verses in scripture that actually can be a little depressing is that the fields are white with harvest, but the ministers are few, the laborers are few. And so it's like, hey, we're never gonna have enough laborers to handle all of the harvest out there, but by golly, we're gonna die trying, right? And so we need you guys to continue to dive in and to grow and mature so that you can be fully used by God for the purposes that he has designed you for. So that's one of the reasons I'm really glad that you're here. And I hope this morning is great for you, because you, if you're not leading yourself, because you will begin to do that in ways different maybe than you ever had. And so I just want to talk for a second about just kind of, there's probably three types of people in the room. Some of you guys are here, and maybe this is all new for you, this Bible study, or, hey, I've never been around men that are getting after it, that are going hard after Jesus and living authentically, and you're a little bit like this. You're a little bit like this boat that's adrift, okay, on the ocean, right? You don't know exactly where you're going. Yeah, so, and I just want to give you good news. Hey, we're going to solve that today. We're going to tell you the first step in how you begin to make progress in becoming God's man. Okay, to fall in love with Jesus, to be God's man for his purposes. Others of you are a little bit like this. Okay, now how funny is this picture? Do you get it? There's this lighthouse that is warning ships, don't come here, don't come here, and yet it crashes on the rock that has the lighthouse on top of it, right? Some of us are like this, okay, is that we have all this information in our head, okay? James says that we are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And so we've got good information. We see the warning light from the lighthouse, but we don't do it, and therefore our life crashes on the very rock, okay, that we're not supposed to crash in. So some of us are in that group, and others of us are kind of like this. We're the lighthouse, okay, pristine. We have been walking with Christ for a long time. walking deeply with him. We've been warning people. We've been serving people, warning ships, serving ships. Okay? And our life has been good. But what we don't think about is that you don't ever arrive. And what happens is you go back to that picture before and you eventually crash because you stop passionately pursuing a relationship with God. We've got perfect example. The Chicago Tribune is having a ball these days, right? In Chicago, Bill Hybels, the very guy that wrote some of the stuff that's in your booklet, The Gauges, in the last year and a half, a bunch of stuff has come out about Bill and just how he was living his life. This past week, James McDonald, another guy in Chicago that led an effective church, right, has come out that he has crashed. These guys were walking deeply with Jesus. I know they were. And yet they stopped leading themselves, okay, in a way that allowed them to continue to be effective long-term and to finish the race well. And I will tell you, as a guy that's 56 right now, it's like, hey, I'm thinking about that. I look at those guys, they're a little older than me, those two guys are, but I want to finish. And what I'm saying is leading yourself is so important to finishing well and continuing to make progress. And so what I want to tell you is I am one bad decision away from blowing everything I have in my life. One bad decision. Let me tell you, just give you some examples. So three of my uncles, okay, are all pushing 400 pounds. Okay, really unhealthy guys, and that's kind of a genetic trait of my family. And if I stop paying attention to food, which is an addiction of mine, I'm gonna be in trouble. There's gonna be, my dad died of a heart attack at 47. There's diabetes on my mom's side. And so sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit of a ticking time bomb. And if I stop paying attention to those things, okay, certainly I'm gonna get hurt, but I'm gonna hurt the people around me that love me and care about me. And so leading myself is critically important. Another one, it's tax season, right? I just wanna tell you that I start my taxes and I'm like, ooh, I could fudge that number just a little bit in order to get a little more income. When I think about that, every year that thought hits me. And I'm one little bitty decision away from changing a number, okay, which allows me to keep more income, okay, which is the start of, hey, that was just a little thing, okay, that leads to something bigger and bigger. Last one, maybe something you wrestle with is the whole porn struggle. I'm one bad decision away from tonight at 11:30 or 12 after Trish is in bed, watching something that I shouldn't watch, flipping on a channel, staying there for 5 or 10 minutes. Look, one time, I confess that with guys, I'm authentic about it, okay, I'm okay. But you know what, maybe tomorrow night I do that for 10 minutes. And the next night, 20, the next night, 30. Then I start watching videos, and then I start doing other things. And it's a slide. And so I live with this, I hope it's a holy fear of, hey, I am one bad decision away from losing everything that I have, every single one. And so I just want to, you may not know it, but you are too. Okay? And so it's why this leadership of ourselves is so important. And so I kind of think about it in three different B's. And so you don't have to write these down, but I'm just like, okay, am I in danger of blowing out? Okay? In other words, hey, is there an affair out there for me? Is there a financial indiscretion? Am I controlled by fear and anger? Is there a chance that I'm going to blow out anytime soon? Is there a chance that I'm going to bug out? This is the other B. Okay, and bug out is I'm just going to kind of leave God, leave the church. Hey, I don't believe this anymore. That happens to people that have been walking deeply with the Lord for a long time. Or am I going to burn out? And I may be present with my family. I may be present in my leadership of the church. I may be present in all of that, but I'm emotionally disconnected. I'm not engaging. I'm tired, right? And so I don't know where you are. I don't know if those things that I talked about, like which picture you are, or if you're in danger of blowing out or bugging out or burning out. I don't know. But I want to ask you, as we spend the next 20 minutes or so together, just to be noodling on that. Hey, where am I? What's happening in my life? Are there areas that I'm playing with a tiger cub, and that tiger cub's going to grow up and he's going to devour me sometime in the next week, month, or years? And so the point I want to get to here is that there's a passage of scripture in Proverbs 4:23. You guys studied it in ESV, and it just says, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. It says in NLT, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. And that's one of my life verses, okay? And so I'm always thinking about, hey, guard above all else. Think about that for a second. God is saying to you, hey, above all else, above anything else, guard your heart, for it determines where your life is going. Right? And so if you're not paying attention to your heart, if you're not paying attention to your soul, that's synonymous with leading yourself, okay? It's just saying that the course of your life is going off somewhere. Jesus says it in a different way, Luke 10, 38 through 42, the story of Mary and Martha. He just says, hey, Mary's chosen the better thing, right? Mary has chosen to sit at my feet and listen to Jesus. Right, David in Psalm 27 says, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek, that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to dwell in his temple. So what we're gonna do today is this. We're gonna teach you, we're gonna help you pay attention to your heart and pay attention to your soul. Is that we want you to, on a regular basis, examine how you're doing. And so the answer is, if you want to lead like Jesus, which we're talking about this semester, you've got to model Jesus in how he led himself. He gives us all kinds of pictures throughout the scripture of what happened. Let me just run through some of these. In Mark 1:35, you don't have to write these down, but in Mark 1:35, he says, Jesus went away to a lonely place to pray early in the morning. Matthew 4, the temptation, he was praying, God, take this, God help me with this. Luke 6, he prays all night before he chooses his disciples. Mark 6, come with me privately, he says to his disciples, to a lonely place. Matthew 6, how to pray. Luke 5, Jesus says Jesus would often slip into the wilderness to pray. John 17, the whole chapter is a prayer. Jesus prays for himself, he'd have the courage to go to the cross. He prays for his disciples, then he prays for us, as those who are gonna believe through his disciples. The Lord's Supper, he's praying. At Gethsemane, he's praying, take this cup from me. At the cross, forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing. So what I want you to get from that is Jesus is modeling for all of us a moment by moment intimate relationship with the Father. That's what he wants for us. And so if in your mind, okay, caring for your soul or walking as a Christ follower is a 20-minute devotional every day, that's bad thinking. Okay? God wants us, the goal, the target is for us to walk minute by minute with Christ. Now look, if I played a game every day with myself and said, hey Lord, how many minutes in a day did I spend focused on you? That percentage is gonna be really low. Okay, but I want it to grow. I want it to be better. I want it to be more. And so I'm gonna give you four truths that we have got to understand in order for us to grow out of either, hey, we're not spending time with God at all, or our walk with God is checklist, or it's mechanical or methodical, and it's not intimate. So four things that are really important for us to know. And the first one comes from John 15, 4 and 5, which you guys studied this week. It says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, listen, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the first thing that this is, that we're talking about, is a relationship. Okay, there is a you have the privilege because of Jesus on a cross to be in relationship with God. It is a good thing for you to think about, hey, as I have a relationship with my spouse or my mom or my dad or my brother, this is similar. Okay, I want you talking to God about, hey, here's what I struggle with. Okay, I want you talking to God about, hey, I'm about to go into a situation and I'm over my head, and God, if you don't show up, I'm going to fail immensely, epically. And so I want us talking about those things. I want us asking epic things for our own life and for our church. And so it's so important that we abide with God. For you, apart from me, you can do nothing, it says. It doesn't mean you're not breathing or you can't go mow the lawn this afternoon, but it means you can't do anything of eternal value if you're not connected to God in a relationship. And so that's the first thing that we need to understand as we think about how do we walk moment by moment with Him. The second thing is Psalm 1:1-3, that you guys studied this word, that the scripture is the core of this. We're not going to understand how God wants us to relate to Him unless we understand God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates, what? Day and night, moment by moment. Okay, God wants this continual relationship. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and in all that He does, He prospers. He's saying, hey, if you'll meditate on my word, it's gonna go well with you. If we are in relationship, God of the universe and sinful Kyle, it's gonna go well with you if we're in relationship and the scriptures is the center of what you're doing. The third is we've got to understand obedience. Okay, Matthew 4:19, Jesus just says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The focus is, hey, follow me. Do what I do, imitate me. Jesus said, look at John 14:21 right here. And this is in the New American Standard, but it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. So he who is obedient to what I ask loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. So the scripture is telling us here that if we keep God's command, okay, it proves that we love God, and God and Jesus are gonna love us, okay? And then it goes on, great little phrase in this passage, and I will disclose myself to him. If you're obedient, God is gonna reveal himself to you. Jesus is gonna reveal himself to you. So if you want this intimate relationship, this moment-by-moment relationship that the scripture talks about, we have got to obey what God tells us to do. Anytime I'm not in obedience, okay, I am shutting off the conduit that allows God to show me more of who he is. When I am obedient, okay, that's free-flowing. That conduit's free-flowing, and God is revealing to me, hey, here's my plan, here's my ways, here's how I want you to act in this situation. And so it's a relationship, guys. It's God's word. It's obedience to what he asks us to do, those three things. And the fourth thing is this is really bad news. You can't do this by yourself. Okay, it's called the gospel. Any regen guys in here? Step one, Romans 7:18. Yeah, anybody know it? For I know that nothing good dwells in me. I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. Right? There's nothing good that dwells in me in my flesh. Okay, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out. If you want, okay, to have this intimate moment-by-moment relationship with God, if you want to lead yourself, you've got to understand the gospel, that you're broken, okay, you're depraved, And apart from the work of God in your life, you can't do this. And so some of us just apply this to the fact that we're saved and we have fire insurance and we're fine, we're going to heaven, but we stop letting the gospel have an impact, a transforming impact on us past the point of knowing that we're okay. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, just says, but we all with unveiled faces, means there's not anything that's, it's not the sacrificial systems that we have to go through to God. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are present tense being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, it says. So what's happening is when Christ is in us, the Spirit's working, there's this present ongoing, we're being transformed by the gospel. It keeps working. It keeps moving. It keeps transforming us into that role. Philippians 1:6 says, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we've got to understand, guys, if you're not, when you're with the Lord, if you're not relying on the gospel, you can't white knuckle this. Okay, you can't try to be more godly. Okay, you have to train in godliness. You can't try for godliness. And so those are the four things: relationship, God's word, obedience, and understanding the gospel. And so let's talk a little bit for a second just about kind of the reason sometimes we don't spend time with the Lord, right? We don't see this. And so here's what the way I want to explain this to you. Anybody baseball player? So I kind of think about my time with God as kind of a hard focus, soft focus. And so I played baseball in high school and college. And so good coaches would teach you as you're fielding a ground ball, okay, and you field that ground ball in the infield and you look up and you soft focus is the actual words that my coaches used on the first baseman. Okay, and so you pick it up, you crow hop, you make that, and you focus on him. And then as you kind of take a couple of crow hops across the infield to let the throw go, you hard focus on whatever number or letter is right here. Okay, because they always taught us that the ball goes where your eyes go. And so my spiritual life, my leading myself is a little bit like that. I try to walk through my days with a soft focus with God, and then I have times of hard focus, okay, where I'm doing the disciplines that we'll talk about the rest of the time that we're together, where I'm journaling, I'm studying, I'm reading, I'm memorizing, I'm meditating God's word. But I can't do that 24/7, so there's a sense in which I want to go through my day connected before I go into a meeting. Hey, God, give me wisdom. How do I love these people well? How do I challenge them to be all that God has called them to be? That's what I want. 24/7, I want to have that soft focus and then have my times of hard focus when we're together. And so the excuses are, hey, we don't know how. We're solving that today. We're going to give you a structure that's going to help you if you want to grow as a believer. Second is, some of us say we don't have time. Bull. You make time for what you prioritize. That's the truth. And some people may be busier than others, but you make time for what is important to you. And so I would just challenge you here, if that's your excuse today for you to spend some time with the Lord, with the guys around your table, and figure out what's the best way to spend your time, and I'm telling you, okay, that it's with the Lord. Figuring out how to get good, significant time with the Lord. And so I could go back, we don't have time to do it, but in that Mark 1:35 passage where it says that Jesus went away to pray, okay, right after that it says that Simon and the disciples were looking for him. It said all the people in the village wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus says, nope, sorry, I've got to go on to the next town. You talk about busy? He's got tens or hundreds of people clamoring to be with him. He's the center of attention. He's the CEO. He's in charge. And yet he says, nope, I can't help those folks. I got to go to the next town and figure this out. How does he know to do that? He's in a moment by moment relationship with the Father. He prays. He spends time. He says, you know what? The better way for me to use my time is to go and share this news, this message, with somebody else. And so we don't have time. The other thing I think that a lot of us do is we compartmentalize our relationship or our kingdom of God stuff, right? We're like, okay, I've got my Christian stuff here, I've got work here, I got family here, I got hobbies and habits here, all that, and they don't affect each other. Can I just tell you that your walk with Christ affects every single part of your life? And if it doesn't, you ought to be asking questions. Hey, God, why is my time with you, my relationship with you, not affecting every single part of my life? It's effective for your emotional health, spiritual health, physical well-being, your finances, your marriage, your parenting, your vocation, extended family, friends. It affects everything. And so if that relationship's not affecting those things, ask some questions. Hey, this is out of whack in my life. My finances are out of whack. God, what are you saying to me so that I can adjust? And so let's spend the last few minutes that we're together on how do we do this. And so there's a couple of guys in the last month or so that are on staff. They're younger guys, and they've come up and said, hey, Kegs, I hear that you balance your life really well between ministry and family and all that kind of stuff. And after I died laughing, I told them, I said, the only time I ever hit balance in my life is when I go from one side to the other and I cross the line that says balance, right? So if you're looking for balance, I think you're crazy, okay? So as you think about leading yourself, I want to change your word from balance to examine, okay? Is how I want to change your word. So everybody stand up. Okay, I'm about to show you my spiritual life right here. You ready? Okay, everybody stand on one foot. We're gonna go for about 15 seconds. How we doing? That's cheating, hanging on to each other. All right, you can sit down. That's my spiritual life right there. Let me tell you what my spiritual life is like. I am constantly making adjustments. Just like you, just then, we're on one foot, and we were making small adjustments, right? Kind of moving, doing a little bit of this, change in balance. Others of us, we're making a little bigger adjustments by putting our foot down, okay, and regaining our balance. And these guys over here were hanging on to each other because they couldn't even stand up, right? And so that's a picture of, I think, how we ought to live our life. We ought to be examining our life and constantly making adjustments, okay? Not to balance, okay, but to, hey, God, what are you saying to me? Am I being obedient to you? Am I living in relationship to you? So there's times when I make small adjustments, and there's other times when I make really big adjustments. But as I grow and as I mature, my swings from one side to the other become less and less because I'm more aware. But you can't make those adjustments, right, if you're not spending time with God, if you're not in that relationship with him. And so I'm just going to, some of you guys have heard me talk about this before. I'm just going to run through it just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of how to do this. So some of you guys know that I use just DD for Devote Daily. That's what we kind of use around here, okay? And so that's kind of the first rhythm that I have in my life where I try to devote every single day. I try to spend time with the Lord. And so one of the things I do that's been helpful for me is that I don't open my Bible first. Some of you guys may say that's blasphemous, okay? But I don't. I open and I journal on my computer, okay? And I open it up and I put the date, and because I'm trying to pay attention to my weight, one of the things that I do is every couple days, I'll put what I'm weighing right there because I know that's one that can get out of whack really fast. And then I write this question. I just say, speak to me, your servant is listening. Or I will say, God, help me follow you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength today. So I start with the relationship. I don't start with the information that comes with reading the scripture. And it's been amazing. And so yesterday, well, I'll talk about it in a second, but yesterday I was kind of away for some time working on this and some other things, and I'd spend an hour on a project, and then I would just go disappear for 5 or 10 minutes, and I would just pray, okay, God, I just worked on this for an hour. What are you saying to me right here? What do I need to know from this last hour I spent? Oh, I'm about to go work on this. God, would you give me wisdom and insight about how to think through this? Okay, and so devoting daily is really important. And so here's what we're gonna tell you is super helpful, right? It's just really simple. It's the P-R-A-Y that you guys have in your booklet, right? Praise, repent, ask, yield. Let me tell you something. This is not complicated. If you'll do this every day, you'll be the most mature guy in the room. It's just not complicated. Okay, if you will praise the Lord, repent from your sin, ask in line with what God wants, and yield to his spirit, same thing for obedience, right? You're gonna grow and you're gonna mature. So if you came here and you didn't know how to lead yourself, right here, okay, use that. It's as wise and as epic as anything else you can use. And you may have other stuff that you use, that's great. We're just telling you, if you don't have something, this is awesome right here as a way to think through that. And so devote daily, however that looks like. Y'all will get a ton of time this semester to talk about that. And I don't know if that's 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 45, I don't have any idea, but make it relational. Use the scripture because it's so important, but make it a relationship with the Lord. And do what he tells you to do. If he's asking you to do something hard, do it. Okay, second one, and we'll go through these pretty quickly, is I withdraw weekly. And so I'll take one of my times with the Lord during the week. I'll extend it a little bit, and it's just kind of my Sabbath. And so we don't have to do the Sabbath anymore because we're under the New Testament law, okay, the law of grace. But the principle of Sabbath still really matters. It's really important for having a relationship with God. And so I'll take one of those quiet times and I'll use it as a way to pray and play. That's what I use. I'll pray, how was my week, what's going on? And then I love to go do stuff that, whether it's playing tennis or racquetball or being with my wife doing something, we'll figure out a day to kind of make that happen. And then migrate monthly, okay, is what the M's stand for. And I just take a quiet time on another day, and I kind of evaluate my month. That was yesterday for me. It's the fourth Wednesday of the month usually, and I get a chance to work on the ministry and not in the ministry. And one of the things that's a part of that is I look back over February and I say, hey, how did I do this month, okay? And I've got a sheet right here that it's just like, hey, here's my growth plan for 2019. Here are the things I'm gonna pay attention to. I wrote that at the very end of January. It's the very end of February. How did I do in February? And I didn't get an A, let's just say that. Okay, but I'm examining, I'm paying attention to what's happening there. So I migrate monthly, and then once a year, some of you guys know, I get away with a bunch of guys that have known me for a long time, and we just talk about our year, what God did, things we learned, and then sometimes there's some really major course corrections that take place, right? And it's like, hey, if you keep doing that, you're gonna be on the rocks, not next to the lighthouse, right? You need to nip that in the bud right now. Be transformed by the power of Christ and turn the other way. And so let me finish with this. And I think what I want to ask you is this. Will you up your game? And so if you're a guy that doesn't spend time with the Lord on a regular basis, will you commit walking out of here today that, hey, on a regular basis, I'm going to spend time with Christ? And so if you do that now 0 times a week, okay, do it 3. If you do it 3, do it 5. If you spend 20 minutes right now, do 30 or do 35 minutes. We need to grow, all of us need to grow in this area, okay? And would you ask God to do great things with your life? Ask him to do stuff great. And when you blow it, when you make a commitment like I did at the end of January that I'm gonna do this and this and this in February and I didn't do it once, Yesterday, I'm like, God, will you forgive me? I know this is good for me, and I did not apply this to my life. Forgive me. And man, let's get right back on the horse, and let's get after it. But commit to growing your self-leadership, because it's going to impact so many things. And I just want to come back to just these last questions. You know, kingdom math is really difficult, you know, because kingdom math doesn't make sense for us at all. And so I just want to ask you guys these questions. Do you really believe, okay, that God wants to do great things in your life? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that if you serve the least of these, that you're going to be great in the kingdom of God? Do you really believe that if you give more money, that your life is going to have more freedom? Do you believe that? See, this is all things. This is kingdom math, right? It doesn't make sense. And then I would just add to you, do you really believe that if you spend time with God, that if you carve that time out of your schedule, that your life is going to be more effective and better prioritized? Do you believe it? I do. Not all the time, okay? But I'm telling you, if we will commit to doing that, of being in a relationship with God, using God's word, obeying him, there's no telling what God's gonna do with you in your life and in your family, and what he's gonna do in your ministry. And we need you. We need you to do this, to lead yourself, to lead like Jesus, so that God can do amazing things with us and in us and through us and in Collin County and in the world. Because God wants to do it. His eyes are searching for hearts that are fully his, the scripture says. He's looking to bless those whose hearts are fully his.